Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. On April 14, 1967, less than a year before he was assassinated, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. gave a speech titled The Other America at Stanford University. Here's part of what he said.
It's more difficult today because we are struggling now for genuine equality. And it's much easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee a livable income and a good solid job. It's much easier to guarantee the right to vote than it is to guarantee the right to live in sanitary, decent housing conditions. It is much easier to integrate a public park than it is to make genuine quality integrated education a reality. And so today we are struggling for something which says we demand genuine equality.
This morning, on the day we mark King's birthday, we're featuring local leaders who have taken extraordinary steps during the pandemic to support their neighbors. In a few minutes, we'll meet the founder of a nonprofit effort to expand the horizons of middle school students in West Baltimore. First, we meet Bishop Antonio Palmer, who leads Kingdom Celebration Center, a non-denominational church in Gambrills, Maryland. He's also president of the United Black Clergy of Anne Arundel County. Welcome to the show, Bishop Palmer.
Thank you, Sheila. I'm so honored that you guys will have me today.
What kind of community outreach did your church undertake during the pandemic?
When the pandemic at first took place, the Lord had spoke to my heart. I know everybody was rushing to stay home and quarantine and things of that nature. But the Lord had spoke to my heart about the need for the community to see the church in a greater way. It was an unprecedented opportunity to serve the community. Our church then, Kingdom Celebration Center, then began to not totally shut down. But one of the things we did was we just continued one of the most vital outreach works that we had, which was our food distribution. Prior to the pandemic, we actually had food distribution where we were serving somewhere on an average about 500 individuals on a monthly basis.
And is this serving them with meals or with groceries or in what way?
Pretty much we had partnered with the County Food Bank and also Maryland Food Bank. And we were having boxes of different, you know, like produce. And from time to time, we would have some perishable items like chicken and things of that nature. So we were doing that prior to the pandemic. Afterwards, once the pandemic had hit, we found ourselves serving on average 2,500 people on a weekly basis on every Monday. And we're still every week on Mondays. And just a shout out and thanks to our county who partnered alongside with us. We were able to secure more funding to duplicate the services throughout the county, partner with some of the churches that are actually in the United Black Clergy. So that was one of the things that we did. We continued our food distribution.
And what else?
Once the county had saw that we had this kind of capacity where we had reached out to several of the other churches and we had the ability to galvanize, we were able to partner with them on other efforts like remote learning or e-learning program. During that time, of course, the kids were not back in school. And so we had, we were able to get somewhere around 80, 85 students. And we had about three or four churches that were participating. We would have these students at our churches where their parents had to go back to work and things of that nature. And so they were issued Chromebooks. We had tutors. We had different activity time for them and lunch, of course, until, of course, they were able to recently go back to school. So we had that. And I'm telling you, KCC, we were serving when the Lord said serve. we try to maximize that opportunity. And we're currently working alongside with our health department with the Health Ambassadors Program.
What is that?
Yes, ma'am. But the Health Ambassadors Program is an initiative that encourages our community to get vaccinated. We have about 12 ambassadors who go out to the community almost on a daily basis, taking surveys and encouraging everyone to get vaccinated, or to just simply point them in a direction where they can get more education on the vaccine.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Bishop Antonio Palmer, who leads Kingdom Celebration Center in Gambrills in Anne Arundel County. To celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy today, we're speaking with local leaders about their efforts to promote justice and improve life in their communities. We are approaching the 2-year mark of the pandemic. What are the greatest needs you're still hearing from your congregants?
I want to say, you know, what's really been, I guess, talked among the community and my congregation, we talk about the impact that the pandemic has had on Black-owned businesses and our economic condition. And so I had an opportunity to talk with our county executive, and this, what I'm about to share, is in an incubating stage. But I shared with him, you know, a new concept that that kind of birthed through just having these conversations throughout the community. And that concept was to be able to help Black-owned businesses to be able to recover from the onslaught of the pandemic, and to also some new Black entrepreneurs to help them to build hope and to give them opportunity that they can have, you know, a business that could be sustainable. One of the things that I saw that was lacking greatly amongst Black-owned businesses was that when we opened, most of the time it was without any type of capital. So I'm sharing and talking and communicating with our county executive on how we can customize some type of program that can also be able to give capital for Black-owned businesses, especially the ones whose business failed during the time of the pandemic.
In September 2020, you organized the Thousand Man March in Annapolis, a protest against police violence and racism. Tell us about that experience.
Yes, the fatal incident was polarized with the George Floyd murder. He was a victim of what we call modern day lynching, and that was at the hands of police. And it struck a painful chord, not only myself, but really throughout the nation. It was really an international alarm. So that incident with George Floyd, along with others, it just sent an alarm actually to my son. Randy is his name. And Randy came to me and said that he can visualize 1,000 Black men coming together and having a peaceful protest in the city of Annapolis. And something like this was, of course, uncommon. But he, when I heard it, it just kind of, I got excited about it, and I could see it. And so I got together with Carl Snowden, who's the convener of the Caucus of African-American Leaders. And we began to organize, and we had a tremendous result. You know, it was well over 1,000 people that attended. We marched from the Naval Stadium to downtown Annapolis by the city docks. Then we had there at the city docks, we had several leaders encouraging, uplifting, and challenging our community to be more active when it comes to fighting against injustices and other social ills, and to make our region a better place. And also just recently, not only the Thousand Man March, but also recently we had organized what we call the Freedom Bus Ride. Carl Snowden and other leaders from the Black community got together and felt that it was necessary to go down to Ocean City to protest against the police excessive use of force that had took place with a young Black teenager who ended up being kneed several times in the back by an Ocean City police officer. And only because stemmed from him violating vaping on the boardwalk policy. So we're monitoring that trial, and we plan to also go back to Ocean City to show our support because we have the philosophy that when you violate one of us, you will have to deal with all of us. And so we want to try to to use that philosophy as we're continuing to galvanize to fight against some of the social ills and some of the things that that's going on, especially with police violence when there's no accountability. And so we love our police, but when there's violence, unnecessary violence, then we have to stand up against that.
On March 11th, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Committee of Anne Arundel County will host its annual award ceremony. More than a dozen local activists will be honored, and you will receive the group's Dreamkeeper Award. How do you share Martin Luther King Jr.'s messages with your congregation and the community?
Actually, about 5 or 6 years ago, I actually started during Black History Month, which is, you know, in February, of course, we started having our children pick alongside with their parents. But the children would come up and they would give like little essays about some historical figures, Black historic figures. And so oftentimes you would hear with along with Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass, you will, of course, hear about Dr. Martin Luther King. So I'm happy that it's not necessarily me, but it's like a movement of dealing with our history and moving towards our future, that the millennials and then our children are actually are the ones who are spearheading the conversations. And I also want to say about the Dream Keeper Award, I just want to thank the MLK Junior Committee for such an honor to bestow this prestigious award on me. And I always say that this award is an indicator to me that I'm doing my part on the team, because it's a team effort to keep Dr. Martin Luther King's dream alive and to fight against injustices, to be able to see justice and equality and an equitable society. So it takes a team, and I'm fortunate that somebody acknowledged that I'm on the team, that I'm not a spectator, but I'm actually in the fight.
Bishop Palmer, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Sheila.
Bishop Antonio Palmer leads Kingdom Celebration Center, a non-denominational church in Gambrills. Palmer's president of the United Black Clergy of Anne Arundel County. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we've got information about the 34th Annual Awards Program on March 11th by the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Committee of Anne Arundel County. An in-person event is being planned. Short break now on the record. When we're back, helping middle school students in West Baltimore create a blueprint for their futures. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. On October 26, 1967, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. spoke to students at Barrett Junior High School in Philadelphia.
And whenever a building is constructed, you usually have an architect who draws a blueprint. And that blueprint serves as the pattern, as the guide, as the model for those who are to build the building. And a building is not well erected without a good, sound, and solid blueprint. Now, each of you is in the process of building the structure of your lives. And the question is whether you have a proper, a solid, and a sound blueprint.
King posed the question, what is your life's blueprint? Here in Maryland, the students involved in SAFE, Alternative Foundation for Education, are in the process of drawing that blueprint. Van Brooks founded the nonprofit and is its CEO. SAFE serves middle school students in West Baltimore's Franklin Square neighborhood. Brooks is a 2014 OSI Baltimore Community Fellow, and he joins us on Zoom. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you so much for having me.
During the pandemic, SAFE had to adapt to keep in-person groups small, limiting the number of participants from the typical 20 to just a dozen. How did you stay connected to your students?
So one of the things that we did, when everything was shut down, we went to virtual, like everyone had to, but we ran a program called Together We Can. And that was a virtual program just to keep our students engaged weekly. We offered different activities like poetry and Spanish. We even did some workouts with professional athletes.
What have you heard from students and parents about the challenges of the pandemic?
So initially it was just having access to the technology. And then once school started back, we opened up as a learning pod. So a learning pod was basically, we operated as a school. We switched our model from after school to an all day from 8 to 4. And so during that time, parents knew where their students were. They knew that they were safe. They knew that they were receiving meals. And it took a burden off of them of trying to find childcare or just wondering, like, you know, is my child safe? But it also allowed parents to go to work. And so that was just a huge relief for them, knowing that they had a place to send their child during this time.
Throughout the past 2 years, as I understand it, SAFE has done its best to continue to offer field trips, a big emphasis of your program. Tell us about some of these excursions and why you see these trips as so important.
We firmly believe that exposure leads to expansion. And so for us, how can we allow, well, how can a person strive for something if they don't know it exists? And so by exposing our students to the different things that we expose them to, it's now on their radar. And if it's something that they're interested in, they can strive to achieve it because they've seen it, they've experienced it. And so it's also a major part in the educational component of connecting the dots between the classroom and the real world, right? So an example could be going to a woodshop. Woodshop teaches a skill. It exposes them to potential career path, but also it connects the dots to the math that they're learning in the classroom. And so it's those kinds of things that's very important for our students to have a clear understanding of how everything is aligned.
We heard Dr. King ask students about their blueprint for the future. How has your blueprint changed over time?
Oh, wow. So initially I thought I would be a professional athlete until I suffered a spinal cord injury and broke my neck, which left me paralyzed. And so after that, it was just teaching students the importance of having an education and a backup plan for life. And, you know, my blueprint has changed because I believe in paying it forward. And so many people stepped up to help me during my time when I needed them the most. And so it's only right that I pay it forward to my community and help in any way possible.
That's Van Brooks, founder of the youth center SAFE, SAFE Alternative Foundation for Education. We're on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. To mark Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we're speaking with local leaders who are empowering their communities. The COVID-19 pandemic laid bare the realities of longstanding racial inequities in the United States, and the Black Lives Matter movement has heightened calls for a reckoning with systemic racism. How do you talk to your students, middle school students, about racial injustice?
So we are very real with them. We don't hold anything back because they need to understand that the world can be unkind. And so one of the things that we did was we had a lawyer come in to teach Know Your Rights training. And so that way they could understand how to interact with law enforcement if they're ever in that situation and what their rights are and how they can maneuver to get out of that situation safely. The other thing that we've done is we've connected with some of the local private schools, the more affluent schools, for a program called Bridging Baltimore that also helps our students experience and interact with new people, new campuses, new environments. So that way they, again, understand that there's more that they can be striving for, but also building relationships with people with different backgrounds than what they have as a way of understanding the differences in people.
Bridging Baltimore. Tell me how these partnerships with private schools work. I mean, what schools, what do you do?
So one school is the Calvert School and the other one is Loyola Blakefield. But speaking to the Calvert School, once a month, the school would come down, or a couple of students from the school would come down to our youth center. And then once a month, we would go out to their school. And it's all about just having those hard conversations in a safe environment. And hearing the perspectives of two totally different groups of students. And again, having those hard conversations and hopefully the program is, well, the program is aimed at breaking down the different biases. And so with the students interacting and having that firsthand conversation with each other, they can begin to break down the bias that they may have and have a change of perspective.
What do you hear from students about those conversations?
You know, primarily around some of the things that I heard from the news about Baltimore City, or some of the things that I heard about private schools and private school students, it's not accurate. Not to say that some of it isn't true from their experiences. It gives them a different insight on things.
Looking ahead, SAFE is planning to open a Center for Workforce Development later this year. Tell us about those plans.
Yes. So, and then the natural progression of just growing the foundation, we began to see that there were a lot of factors affecting our middle school students that were out of their control. And one of those things was work for parents or older siblings or guardians who may be taking care of them. And so, and just understanding that there was a huge gap between the construction industry and those living in my community having access, I decided that opening a new workforce development center to create that pipeline would help not only my community, but also help the industry. And a ripple effect of that is it will help our students as well.
What have been the challenges getting it going?
The primary challenge is honestly just permits, getting permits through the city. And I understand that there's a process. I understand that the pandemic set things back. But that's just the biggest challenge right now is that.
Some of the students from the early days of SAFE are now in college. How does it feel to see their success?
You know, when I set out to do this, I had a vision, and to see the impact that it's having is very humbling, but also very surreal to me, right? Knowing that a student that I work with in the sixth grade is now a freshman at Notre Dame, and he's, you know, right from my community. He didn't know anything about a private school before coming to us. And he once he learned about it, he attended a private school, and just the things that he was able to achieve. Not saying it was all us, right? There's a lot of factors that played a part in that, but we played a small part in helping expose him to these things. And he took full advantage of everything that we were offering. And now he's at Notre Dame.
Congratulations on your work, and thanks for telling us about it.
Thank you.
Van Brooks is the founder and executive director of the West Baltimore nonprofit SAFE, Safe Alternative Foundation for Education. You can find links to more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast, On the Record. Hope something inspires you this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Join us again tomorrow.